So we are continuing the Easter story. This is the part of the Easter season I like to call the whack-a-mole season, if that's not too sacrilegious, because whenever Jesus appears, he then disappears and reappears somewhere else. Do you know that game, whack-a-mole, where you bang the moles the hammer and they keep popping? Obviously, they didn't bang Jesus on the head with a hammer. That's not what happens authentically. But Jesus just keeps unexpectedly popping up different places. And today we see a time when he appeared to his disciples and others. And we're going to dip into that in a moment and explore what's going on there. But first, I want to use today to reiterate our vision about who we are as a church and a community. So we have three parts of our vision, three bullet points, if you like, which came out of a season of praying and thinking about who we are as a church back in 2018, so way before my time here. But what you came up with is brilliant, and it's still where it's leading us. So the three things, and I'm sure you know them off by heart, but we're gonna say them again anyway. So firstly, we are a church of... You're very good. I know you're reading it off the screen, but I'm gonna pretend you're not. And secondly, we're a church of... And thirdly, we're a church... I'm tempted to do that without it on the screen. We are a church of, a church of, and a church. Very good. I need to make that last one snappier, don't I? But very good. I'm impressed. I like the way Hannah's on a delay from the rest of you as well, which is very good. Very clear, though. So this is something of who we are. And underlying this vision, we are a people who, whether we're coming questioning, doubting, agnostic, atheist, Christian, wherever you are in the journey of faith, you are so welcome here. And our hope is that as a community, we want to encounter this Christ and to know him more. That's at the heart of who we are. We believe this Jesus is for everyone, and knowing him transforms our lives and the world around us. So that's what we're about. So I want to go through this vision in the light of today's reading, just to reiterate what it is we believe we're called to be doing as a church in Westcott, but also looking at how does that make us part of the bigger global church. So firstly, we are a church of all ages. And I love the fact that we begin our worship with kids dancing over there and different people standing here and some of us covering our ears and some of us wishing it was louder. And we're a church of all ages. And what's happening in that room there is as much church, a gathering of God's people, as what we're doing in here. This is on an equal footing. This is God's work. This is God's community. So our readings today began with these words: while they were still talking about this. Now, here's the first question. Who were they and what were they talking about? Because this comes right at the end of Luke's gospel. And two people had just arrived back to this room from a journey where they were heading to a place called Emmaus. Does this ring any bells? And on the road to Emmaus, they met a fellow traveller who, it turned out, they didn't recognise him, but it was Jesus. And they recognised him just at the moment he broke the bread when they arrived where they were going, and then he disappeared, whack-a-mole, and off he went. And so they cancelled their trip. They rushed back to Jerusalem to find everyone else and to tell them what they've seen. And they arrive, they tell their story. They're all in a room discussing what's happened. And then he arrives, he appears. Whack-a-mole in that place. I love that. Now, the question is, who was it who's gathered in that place? So Luke mentions that the disciples, the apostles, the 12 are there on this occasion, but also Cleopas and the other person who went on that walk to Emmaus in the back, they're in that room. And it says many others will gather with them as well, we know from earlier on. And I think I think it's fairly likely from the narrative that this was a gathering of the woman who followed a new Jesus too. It was a gathering of men. It was a gathering of the different disciples who ranged from every social demographic, from hardworking fishermen through to tax collectors who were despised. They had political views like Simon the Zealot, who, depending on your perspective, was either a freedom fighter or a terrorist before he began to follow Jesus. They came from every perspective and age group and demographic. I think there were men and women gathered in that place, and it was there in that moment that this first gathering of what would become the church, in that group of people, that Jesus appears in their midst. And what does Jesus invite them to do? He says, peace be with you. If you're here this morning and you're visiting, or you're fairly new to us, or you're not sure if this place is for you, then hear this. Whoever you are, whatever your experience, this space is for you. I believe Jesus is for you. Peace be upon you, he says. This place is for you. This is your community. You are so welcomed here. But when they encounter Jesus, they're startled and they're frightened. They think he must be a ghost because they'd seen him die. And he says to them, why are you troubled? Possibly a rhetorical question at this moment. Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. Jesus' invitation to all of us, regardless of our age, our background, our gender, our perspectives, our politics, his invitation to all of us is to come and encounter him, to touch him and see that he is good. We are a church of all ages invited to come and explore the tangible possibility that this Jesus is to claim to be. And that invitation is for you, whoever you are, whether you are 5 or 50 or 500 or anywhere in between. This is for you. We're a church of all. Very good. Brownie points. Well done. Secondly, we are a church of. Very good. A few yawns as well, which I'm impressed. But you managed to say at the same time, so that's okay. We're a church of deep disciples. After Jesus appears, and this is what Jesus says next. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. I love that bit of this passage. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. I love it because it seems to me so true of how God's worked in me, enriching my understanding of who he is. Because Jesus here does two things, and they're not mutually exclusive. Firstly, he explains, he engages their cognitive function. He doesn't tell them to switch off their brains now they're in a religious space. He gets them to use all their experience, all their emotion, all their understanding, all their reading, all their knowledge of what God is like from the Old Testament scriptures. And then he explains it to them. But he also, alongside that, seems to do something supernatural in opening their minds to see things in a new way by a work of the Holy Spirit. When we are a church of deep disciples, we are people who are using everything we are, everything we carry with us in our human identity, our cognitive ability, our experience, our skills, our giftings, and we're using all of it to try and know God more, but as importantly, to try and live out that love and that hope in our communities. This is a whole mind, body, experience, emotion response to who God is. But if we were left on our own devices without any help, we'd only get so far. So Jesus opens our minds to understand what he's like through the scriptures, through the gifts of his Spirit. When we gather in this place and sing these songs and pray, we are a church saying to God, open our minds to understand what you're like, who you are, how we are to live, how we are to be, so that the world may know more of your goodness, hope, peace, love, and grace. He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. We are to be a church of deep. And next week, we're going to explore more as we recap some of the work we did on spiritual formation last year and think about what are the things we put in place to be people growing in our discipleship in every part of our lives. Thirdly and finally, we are a church. Some lovely rolled R's there, by the way. That was splendid. Well done if that was you. Lovely to hear. We're a church rooted in and reaching out into the community. Jesus told them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Jesus reminds them of what he told them again and again in the years building up to his death. "I told you so" is not quite what he's saying. He's far more gentle and gracious than that. But he says, "Do you not understand now that I had to die and I had to suffer? That's part of who I am." And somehow in that, repentance and forgiveness have been unleashed on the world in a new way. Forgiveness of sins can now be preached to all people, not just to Jew, but to Jew and to Gentile, to male and female, to slave and free. This is for you. This is good news. And here's the bonkers bit. He says to this room of fishermen and tax collectors, of zealots and the interesting, the boring, the young, the old, the male, the female, he says to this group of deeply flawed people, "Over to you. You are the witnesses to these things." What a risk God takes on us, calling you out by name to be his witnesses in this place. But it's a risk he seems to delight in taking. If we are to be a church that is rooted in and reaching out into our community, that doesn't mean for one moment we have a monopoly on doing good things. This is an amazing village whereby so many people are involved in doing good work to bring transformation and hope and love and laughter in our community. And I'd love to say to you, just get involved in what's going on already, whether that's the community garden or being a trustee for one of the amazing village charities, whether that's reading with children at the local school, whether that's being involved in the community fridge, whatever the things that your giftings and skills fit in with, go and join in the cricket club, the history group. I don't mind where it is, but go and show what God's love, just being you in those places, are. Because we are to be rooted in and reaching out into our community, not because we have monopoly on good, but because we have good news that everyone can encounter Jesus and everyone can know the forgiveness, the grace, the hope and peace that can be found in him. You are the witnesses to these things. So that's who we are. All ages, deep disciples, rooted in and reaching out into our community. Does that sound okay? That's a slightly disappointing response, but I'm gonna. We are English, I know. Does that sound okay?
Yes.
Excellent. Hurrah! Huzzah! Let's crack on and do it then. This last year has had all sorts of challenges, as every year does. But it's also, for me, been such an interesting season of seeing these things lived out in new ways, of seeing God's grace at work in ways big and small. I have so many stories to tell you about how God is at work. And over the coming weeks, we're going to try and do that more. Some amazing things are happening with youth and children's work across the Dorking area. God is doing something amazing. We've got a new a youth worker based in the Priory. The CU's doubled in size the last few weeks, from being 20-something kids to nearly 50 children. Every Friday, gathered, hearing stories about Jesus. Most of them no church or Christian background at all, just interested and knowing they're welcome in that space. There's all sorts of collaborative plans afoot to see people of all ages having the opportunity to engage in this story of Jesus. There's all sorts of ways that we are going to work on our discipleship in the coming year as a community. And there's all sorts of ways we can be involved in being rooted in and reaching out into our community. We'll be telling more stories. But I just want to round off today by doing two things. The first is to say thank you. And specifically, thank you for the ways you serve this community to mean that there is a church in this place. There is a vicar. And whether or not you like me personally, that you are meaning there is someone who can sit with those who are dying and sit with those who are suffering, who can be around meeting the community, offering hope, not because of who I am, but because of the role you're equipping being at the heart of the village. So thank you to all of you who give week in, week out, month in, month out, to facilitate there being an active, living church in this place. And this may be a chance just to say, if you're new to us in the last year and you haven't thought about giving as part of this community, if you're visiting, ignore this. But if this is your church and your community, we'd love it if you'd like to give as part of your worship and part of your being. And if you haven't adjusted your direct debit since inflation's gone wild the last few years and you're a regular giver, maybe that might be something to go away and look at. We'd really appreciate it as we look at the long-term viability of having a church in this place. So, and the second thing I want to finish is just by reading our other reading, which are the words of John, who says this. And I'd love you to close your eyes and to reflect on these words that John writes. He wrote nearly 2,000 years ago, and he wrote it to us, and he wrote it to you as we think about who Jesus is and what his death and resurrection means for us as a community in this place at this time. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we, from the oldest to the youngest, should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him, there is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous.